This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, takeaways from the NBA draft last night with winners and losers, and takeaways from the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which is now 2 hours away, with winners and losers from that as well. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years, are one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager at Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can also check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. We'll get to our Big 2 at 2 in a moment. But if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston. You can also find the show podcasted online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page and you can find the show there. And, of course, if you download our app, you can listen to the show not only live but also on demand. The podcasts are available through the app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store and you can get the show that way. You can listen live, but also the podcasts are available through the app. ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Before we get to the Big 2 at 2, it looks like the Braves have made a couple of more under-the-radar moves. They have acquired Eddie Rosario from Cleveland and now getting Adam Duvall from Miami. Duvall, of course, former Brave. He went to Miami. He was having a pretty good year this year. He's a home run hitter, but they gave up Alex Jackson. Ooh, interesting. Now, Alex Jackson hasn't quite panned out. Alex Jackson was a big-time prospect for the Braves. And he was kind of one of those guys that didn't have a position. And so they were trying to have him work as a catcher and such. And he had a good bat, wasn't a very good defender. And then, you know, in the NL, there's no DH. He'd really be more of a typical DH, but it's not an option in the NL. So they're trying to find a spot for him, thinking maybe he could be a catcher. They were trying him in the outfield at one point. When I was in the minors, we would play against him and, you know, broadcast his games and he'd talk to people. And Dave Tremblay was the guy that was the head of it. He was in charge of the Braves minor leagues at the time. I know the Tremblay family, Dave, and they were very excited about him, but just couldn't really find a spot. He's obviously played in the big leagues at times over the last couple of years, and I assume that's the same Alex Jackson that they just traded to Miami for Duvall, so that's a little interesting. They bring in Duvall. I'd have to look up his contract. I don't know how much team control he has after this year. I'm just seeing these trades come down now. But you give up an Alex Jackson, a prospect that, you know, you're giving up on, but you're trading him within the division, and we know Miami loves their prospects. And then you get Eddie Rosario from Cleveland as well. So I'll have more reaction to those moves coming up in just a little bit. But we get you caught up from time to time. If you missed the earlier part of the show or whatever it may be, we spend the final hour getting you caught up on a couple of the biggest stories of the day. It's our Big 2 at 2.
The Big 2 at 2, where Luke recaps the two biggest stories of the day right here on the Morrow Midday Show.
Let's start with the NBA draft, and then we'll work our way to the Major League Baseball trade deadline, because it's an interesting Friday here in July where, in about a 24-hour stretch, we have one of the busiest trade deadlines we've ever had in Major League Baseball that I can recall, all while having the NBA draft last night. So let's start with the NBA draft. You know, the NBA draft is always different because in the NFL, you have seven rounds. And so, yeah, when you draft a Tom Brady, the GM, you don't get as much credit because, well, I mean, you also passed on him five times, and, you know, everyone else passed on him. Nobody saw it coming. So the Patriots, of course, deserve a little bit of credit for getting Brady, but they didn't even see this coming. Same idea with Lamar Jackson. People always say, like, oh, everyone passed on them except the Ravens. What you may not remember is that the Ravens actually had a first-round pick earlier, and they took Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina. He wasn't even their first pick either. They passed on him originally. Then they wound up with Lamar Jackson. He worked out. And not only that, but you also have seven rounds. So if you hit on half of your picks, that's a good draft, right? If you get three starters a year in the NFL draft, right, you're doing well. Major League Baseball, you have no idea when the draft is going on. You don't know who your team drafted, right? Tell me who the Braves drafted in past years. Who was their number one pick even just last year or 2019 or 2018 or 2017? Tell me any of the top guys that they drafted. I'm a Red Sox fan. I could tell you a couple that were really propped up, you know, just mainly because they didn't work out. And then you always hear about it because the hype around them was real. You know, like Trey Ball was a pitcher the Red Sox got. Everyone was excited for high school in Indiana, and it didn't really pan out. He was the number one pick. I think it was 2016. You know, but otherwise, you don't know who they drafted because it could be years until they debut, and a lot of times the top picks don't really pan out as much as some of the later guys do, and it's a real coin toss, real coin flip. But in the NBA, there's only two rounds. You know, you only have two picks. A lot of teams only have one pick. Some teams don't have any picks that year. And since you only have five starters and it's a superstar league and rookies can come in and take control right away, you know, Luka Doncic, even a Trae Young, you have guys, Zion Williamson, they're very impactful. NBA teams, the GMs, are judged harsher in the NBA on how they do in drafting than really any other sport. So with that said, when you look at the draft last night, every year we always have the same narrative about every NBA draft. Like, it's just the top three players, and then after that, really drops off. Jay Billis did call this year's draft, however, the deepest in 20 years. But even more so, when we believe drafts are always top-heavy, it turns out that that's not the case. Right? You can get a Steph Curry and a Kawhi Leonard and a Giannis and a Jokic later on and a Damian Lillard. You don't have to draft those guys in the top five or the top 10. There are always, you could call them surprises, but there are always great players that come from later in the draft. We never see it coming, right? We always say, it's just about the top five picks. Then it turns out the best players actually were taken in the teens or the 20s, or, you know, an MVP comes from the second round. So with that in mind, looking at last night's draft, of course, Cade Cunningham, the number one pick, I do think, right, we've had a lot of number one picks bust in the NBA in the last 20 years. But I do think Cade Cunningham, number one for the Pistons, not only was that the clear choice, I do think he will have a good NBA career. A 6'8 guard. Right, he can do a little bit of everything, but do it also with that size, with that combination of 6'8", being able to handle the basketball, can score it, has great size for a guard, which was the big thing about Magic all those years ago. He has some good physical tools, right? Can shoot it well enough. And the top three picks, we knew it would be those three, just maybe didn't know the order. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley out of USC. Then after that, Jalen Suggs, still a number five pick, but I like that for Orlando. Davion Mitchell went number nine. I think he will be a really good NBA player. I don't know about the fit with the Kings, but I like Davion Mitchell. He's a D. Mitchell who wears number 45, right? Much like a Donovan Mitchell. Both maybe a little undersized, but can score it. Davion has always tried to base his performance around Donovan Mitchell. He's always looked up to him. That was his inspiration, if you will. That's his guy, his star. He's also been training with Chris Paul. Right, comes out of Baylor, where they just went all the way. He can play offense, can play defense, can play both ends of the floor. I think Davion Mitchell, at least in the right fit, could be really good. And I also really liked Charlotte's pick at number 11 of James Bouknight. I think Bouknight could have used another year of college, but I think he'll be really good in the NBA. He reminds me of another guard out of UConn that also went to the Hornets, in Kemba Walker. Now, Kemba Walker had a better end to his college career, but he was somebody that, you know, you saw play well in college, but then was even better in the NBA, and he probably didn't see it coming. Like, I didn't think he'd be a star. But Bouknight wowed a lot of people at his workouts the last few weeks, played well in college, had some injuries that kept him from being a great player, and I think he'll only be even better in the NBA as he continues to develop. He still has some raw ability that can be turned into, you know, even more potential. I like Bouknight in Charlotte at number 11 and also gets to play with LaMelo Ball. And then the further you go, you know, Cameron Thompson went at the end of the first round to the Brooklyn Nets. He averaged 23 points per game at LSU. The guy can score. And he goes to Brooklyn, where he won't have to be a star early on. With James Harden, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, he'll be able to develop. He won't have a lot of pressure on him. It's like Kyle Trask going to Tampa behind Tom Brady. Right? When you're not thrown in week one like Zach Wilson, well, you could be a quarterback that can sit back, relax, you learn from one of the best. You figure out this whole professional sports thing, learn the playbook, the speed of the game, all that sort of stuff. Cameron Thomas will be able to do that in Brooklyn. He's a first-round pick, but you know, if he goes there, even if he's a great rookie, he's not going to be any better than the fourth option for them. He had some injuries that would be concerning, maybe part of the reason why he fell, but Cameron Thomas at number 27 could be one of those guys that a few years we look back and think like, wow, really good player from that draft class at the end of the first round. The Pelicans took Trey Murphy out of Virginia a little bit later on as well. He's already older than Zion Williamson. They got him at number 17. He's already older than Zion Williamson, which could actually help because he's not some sort of 18-year-old. Right? He is a little more experienced, a little older, and he can also shoot really well. He was one of those 50-40-90 guys at the college level that you always hear about. 50% from the floor, over 40% from beyond the arc, over 90% from the free throw line. Coming out of Virginia where they play good defense, Trey Murphy at number 17 could be another one of those guys. Then a little bit later on, if you look at even, say, the second round, Sharif Cooper, who became just the second freshman in 30 years to average over 20 points and 8 rebounds, you know, the other freshman to have done that in the last 30 years, Trae Young. So pretty good company in what he did at the college level. So Cooper, if you want to go even a little deeper, right, a little bit more of a deep cut, Cooper is a guy who went in the second round, 48th overall, played in the SEC at Auburn. Also was drafted by the Hawks, same team that took Trae Young. Keep an eye out on him. And then in the second round, it was the Jazz that took Jared Butler. We just saw the Bucks win in part because of Drew Holiday, a three-point shooter who can play defense. Jared Butler is similar. He helped Baylor win a national championship, made over 40% of his threes, and can play defense. May not be a star, but he could be one of those Drew Holidays, a role player, or a third option that helps the team win a championship. He'll play defense. He'll knock down some threes, be that good role player like we just saw from Drew Holiday. And then the last one may be Isaiah Todd, who went at the beginning of the second round. He was one of those top recruits coming high school that decided to play for the G League instead and make some money. And it worked out just fine for Jalen Green, who went second overall. Didn't hurt his draft stock. But it may have hurt the draft stock of Isaiah Todd, who fell to the second round. But one of those guys coming out of high school, he was one of the top recruits. Did he take that big of a step back playing in the G League, or was it just not as beneficial as if he played in college? I think at the top of the second round, Isaiah Todd will be an interesting one. And he went to the Bucks as well, so you're joining a good team. You're joining a championship team. Some players to look for. Because we always believe, it's just the top three players. But that's not really the case. You always find talent elsewhere in the NBA draft. In terms of, like, winners and losers, I thought the Magic did pretty well. I thought the Warriors did pretty well. The Pistons to get Cade Cunningham did pretty well. You know, the Knicks had a little of a lackluster night. Sixers, Spurs. But another big winner, also the SEC. The SEC put a lot of guys in this draft. We know how good they are for basketball. Or I should say for football. But they've been getting better in basketball. Last night's draft helped. And not only that, but then we also get the news yesterday about Oklahoma and Texas. We focus on football. That's also going to help them in basketball. That will allow the SEC to potentially turn themselves into, who knows, the best basketball conference as well. They've already been getting better. The ACC has taken a step back. The Big Ten can't win any big games. They don't do well in the tournament. And the SEC already with Kentucky, LSU has gotten better. Right, Auburn has improved. Now you're welcoming Oklahoma and Texas. They put a bunch of guys in the draft last night. That helps in recruiting and shows their development. Yesterday was also a win for the SEC when it comes to last night's NBA draft and Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference as well. Story number two being the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We're less than 2 hours away from that going final. And it's been the craziest deadline I can recall, at least in over a decade. Feels like since adding the extra playoff team, you know, teams think they have more of a chance, so they hold on to their players. But not this year. And just like we saw in the NBA last night, right, the rich get richer, where the Lakers get Russell Westbrook from the Wizards. The Dodgers get Scherzer and Trey Turner from the Nationals. The rich getting richer, and that's what we've seen in this deadline. where the Red Sox added an all-star. The Yankees have added two all-stars. The White Sox, a first-place team, added a couple of good pieces to their roster. The Dodgers added another Cy Young and an all-star to their roster. Even the Padres added some good pieces. The Blue Jays today, they're kind of in that next tier of teams, but you know they've added a couple of all-stars the last 24 hours. So as you would imagine, because those are the teams that are buying, are the teams that are having a good season, right? A last-place team isn't going to buy, but once again, it's those big brands. Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, they're the ones making the moves, getting better, taking away from those bottom-tier teams that are doing the selling, like the Twins, the Nationals, the teams that don't compete enough. So the winners of Major League Baseball's trade deadline are fairly obvious. Dodgers and the Yankees. Those are the two big winners. The Yankees needed some help to the lineup. They have scored the second fewest runs in the AL. They have no lefty bats, so they went out and they got two lefty hitting home run hitters who have been all-stars. Add them to the lineup. That helps. The Dodgers have some questions around their team. When will Bauer pitch again, if at all, for LA? When is Kershaw going to come off the IL? What about Mookie Betts' injury? What about Seager's injury? Bellinger hasn't been good this year. So they go out and they get Max Scherzer instead and Trey Turner to help answer a couple of those questions. And now they have four MVPs and four Cy Youngs on the roster. The Dodgers should be the favorite. I don't know that this necessarily guarantees a World Series, but they certainly should be the favorite. And then some of the losers, as I mentioned, those teams that are now falling behind, like the Mets. Last I saw, the Mets haven't made a move. The Dodgers got better. The Padres got better. Right? If you're the Mets, you thought you could compete for a World Series this year. Your competitors are passing you by while you do nothing this week. I think the Mets have to make a move. Rumors about them trying to get Javier Baez today. I think the pressure to make that move has ramped up for them. I would have said the Braves, but the Braves just made a couple of moves, so it's something. It's not anything huge, but at least it's something. They're trying to do something, so the Braves are making some moves. Maybe I crossed them off my loser list. But any of those teams that are those second-tier teams trying to keep up with the Dodgers, the Padres, they just got better. So you have to as well. The Padres also, though, however, could be a loser because it looked like they were going to get Scherzer, and instead he goes to their direct competitor, the Dodgers. The Rays, for a team that's a game and a half out of the division, they gave up one of their best relievers and gave up a starting pitcher while only bringing in Nelson Cruz. A little confused by their moves the past 2 weeks. But the most obvious loser, the fans of the Washington Nationals. 18 months after celebrating their first World Series, they've gone into a fire sale to rebuild that organization. They gave away their two best relievers, their best starting pitcher, their shortstop, their all-star outfielder. Now they have Juan Soto and really nothing else. Could be a long stretch for the Nationals. And I always feel for those fans. Right? It's like a lot like the Marlins. The two times the Marlins won a World Series, and they said, like, all right, we got our ring. We're good for a while. And they sold off all their pieces. That sucks for a fan. You want to be competitive year in and year out. You shouldn't just settle for, hey, we got our World Series. We're good. The Nationals were not having a good year. They were not very good last year. I know some of these guys are impending free agents. But you can always sign, right? You can always sign Scherzer to a contract extension. He said he wanted to stay with the Nationals. It sucks for the fans when your team throws in the towel and tells you, we have to rebuild. It could be a little while. Those are some of the winners and losers from the trade deadline and also the NBA draft last night. We'll circle back to those Braves moves. I saw them while on air, so I'm going to have to do a little more digging before I give a bigger reaction. Also, which teams in the NFL will boom and which teams will bust this year in the NFL? We'll do that coming up as well. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, which teams will boom or bust in the NFL this year? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Just under 100 minutes to go in Major League Baseball's trade deadline. The Cubs are sending Craig Kimbrell to the White Sox. How about that, a little crosstown? So the White Sox already in first place. One of the best records in baseball have added Craig Kimbrell and Liam Hendricks, two really good relievers. At least Kimbrell's pitching like a good reliever this year. So the Cubs are another team. The Nationals and the Cubs with fire sales going on. Like Tobias Funke in Arrested Development. When he was reading for that commercial of a fire sale, but he thought, or at least he acted as if it was about a fire. Great scene. We'll see what else happens in the next 90 minutes. Now, the Braves did, as mentioned, they traded for Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario. Rosario's a free agent at the end of the year. I believe he's also in the IL right now. And Duvall has an option for next year. So both guys that are really kind of rentals. Duvall, if you're a Braves fan, you know who he is. He's been on the team the last 3 years. He's a home run hitter. And won't hit for average. Hits a lot of home runs. Plays a decent outfield. So the Braves didn't make big splashes, but did improve the outfield by bringing those two in. Acuna's out, obviously, for the year. You go get Jock Peterson. You get Rosario. You get Duvall. The outfield was struggling outside of Acuna. So you do what you can there. The Braves, I think, still need to do something with their bullpen. But they do improve the outfield. Right, because like the lineup, Freeman's hitting better now. Albies is better. Dansby Swanson, Austin Riley, you got a lot of hot bats in that lineup. Maybe they don't keep it going, but I almost think that the bullpen would be a higher priority than the outfield. But the Braves do make some moves. Not big splashes. Not any sort of making any sort of commitments for the long term. Just one of those things like, hey, you know, we'll give it. They're giving it the old college try. Like, yeah, we'll see if something happens this year. Let's at least give ourselves a chance. See if we could turn this thing around. Right, Charlie Morton's pitching well. Drew Smyly has started to pitch well. You're getting good performances from some of your young guys, Tuki Toussaint. So who knows, right? You try to piece it together, get it going, find a couple of missing pieces, get hot here down the stretch, and try to make something of this season. But if you're a Braves fan, you should be happy that at least they're trying something instead of just sitting on their hands or, worst case, would, of course, be selling anything off. And they are trying to get better, and we'll see if anything comes of it. Training camps have begun this week in the NFL, and well, Thursday is the first preseason game in the NFL. So we have a list of teams. I'll let you know which ones will boom or bust this year in the NFL. We'll see how many of these we can run through. But a list of teams for the upcoming season, I'll let you know which ones will go in which direction this season.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Bust. Now, last year, they weren't even 500. So you figure, boom, right, you have to do better than last year. Bust, you have to do worse. The Raiders made a lot of moves to try to improve their defense this offseason. But they're the third-best team in that division. I don't trust John Gruden still. He hasn't had a winning season yet in Las Vegas or just with the Raiders. And Derek Carr is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. He's like a tier three quarterback. I don't trust him either. You know, you got to deal with the Chiefs, even the Chargers. The Broncos at least have a tough defense. And the Raiders have fallen apart second half of seasons under Gruden because they get worn down. Now they have an extra game this year, 17 games this year. So the Raiders, I think, will be a bust this year. I think it'll be another disappointing season.
Los Angeles Chargers.
The Chargers will be booming this year. I like the Chargers. I've laid out my concerns in the past. They can never stay healthy. And also, they have a first-time head coach, a young guy, defensive coach with a young quarterback. How will Brandon Staley work out? I guess my third concern would also be some sort of sophomore slump for Justin Herbert after winning the Rookie of the Year award. But I think Herbert takes another step forward. Executives in the NFL already rank him as a top 10 quarterback a year in. They got plenty of talent around them. They have all the pieces. As long as they can stay healthy and they have the right coach. Anthony Lynn was not the right coach. Now, they do have to deal with the Chiefs, so they may not win the division. But I do think the Chargers are a playoff team this year. I think they'll be booming in L.A.
Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins bust. The Dolphins won 10 games last year. This year, I think they will win even fewer. Or at least have a worse record. There's a 17-game schedule now this year, so they have an extra chance to win an additional game. But I have been consistent in my concerns of Tua. Ryan Fitzpatrick no longer around to bail you out. It's all on Tua. And I just didn't see enough last year. Maybe you tell me he still wasn't healthy. But I just did not see enough to believe that he will be able to do it on his own this year in Miami. Plus, I think the Patriots will be better. More on them in a little bit. I think the Bills will still be really good. And the Jets are going to struggle, but maybe they'll even be a little bit better than last year when they were the worst, one of the worst teams in the league. So the Dolphins, I think, take a step back. They relied so much on their defense, and their defense relied so much on turnovers, it won't happen again this year. So I'm going to say bust for the Dolphins. They're going to have expectations this year to be a playoff team. I think it'll be a letdown of a year for Miami.
the New England Patriots.
The Patriots will be booming. I like the Patriots this year. Look, Bill Belichick is given a hard time because of what he has or hasn't done without Tom Brady. He went to the playoffs back in the 90s, you know, with a washed-up Bernie Kosar. And then he won 10 games with Matt Castle. And last year, when Cam Newton was actually on the field, they were essentially a 500 team with Cam Newton, who's also kind of washed up. Now this is year two of Cam in the program. Hopefully he's healthier this year, not only a year further removed from his injuries and surgeries, but also you hope he doesn't come down with COVID again this season. Then you have Mac Jones, who the Patriots really like. We'll see. And on top of it, you bring back all of the defensive players that they did not have last year because of opt-outs. And with all that, they were still a 500 team last year. I think the Dolphins will be worse this year, like I just said. I think the Patriots will be the second-best team in the division. I could see them being a wild-card team. They were under 500 last year. I'm going to say boom for New England because I think they have a better record this year. And I trust Bill Belichick more than just about any other coach. So I'll say boom for New England.
The Chicago Bears.
Bust for the Bears. Somehow they snuck their way in the playoffs last year. You may not remember it. You probably don't want to remember it. It was the silly, you know, Nickelodeon game with the Saints. I'm going to say bust for Chicago. I think Justin Fields is going to be a really good NFL quarterback, but this is at least to start Andy Dalton's team. We'll see when Fields debuts. And just, I don't trust him as a rookie. I think Fields will have a good career, but he's not going to come in as a rookie and lead the Bears to a championship. That defense isn't quite the same as it was a few years ago. Matt Nagy is on the hot seat. So, too, is Ryan Pace. Also, they just don't have any playmakers on the offensive side of the football. That's why they had to do their little gadgets with Mitch Trubisky anyways. And in that division, Green Bay will be tough again. I think the Vikings will be better. I think the Bears are the third-best team. They snuck in last year with like a 500 record. I think they'll have a losing season this year, will miss the playoffs, and will make some changes. It will be a bust this year for the Chicago Bears.
The Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys are so tricky. I'm going to say boom in the sense that last year was a disappointment. So they will be better this year. Will they win a Super Bowl or even compete for Super Bowl? No, but I do think they'll be an improved team. On paper, they have one of the more talented offenses. Dak Prescott, you hope, is now healthy. The defense should be better just by the fact that, you know, they've made some changes, and you can't get worse than last year. So I do think the Cowboys will be an interesting team. I think they'll certainly be better than last year because Dak, knock on wood, would be healthy. But when I say boom, I don't think they're going to be booming to the top of the NFC. In fact, I don't think they even win the division. But I do think they have a better season than a year ago. You know what? Actually, I'm changing this as I go because Cowboys expectations are always so high. So I'm going to say in the eyes of a Cowboys fan, it will be a bust of a year. Because Cowboy fans already expect them to go win a Super Bowl this year, and they certainly won't. So in that sense, I'm actually going to swap it and say it's going to be a bust. It'll be a bust in the eyes of Jerry Jones and Cowboys fans because they're not going to win anything this year. And Cowboys are the one team that every year they have Super Bowl expectations no matter what. So those fans, the organization themselves, it'll be a bust for them this year in Dallas.
The New York Giants.
I'm going to say a boom. I've been on the Giants bandwagon this offseason. When you look at that division, Washington football team, they have defense. When you look at the Cowboys, they have offense, no defense. When you look at the Giants, they may be the only team that could have both. They had a top 10 defense a year ago, and they have plenty of weapons on offense. Barkley comes back healthy in the backfield. They went out and added a good wide receiver. In fact, two good wide receivers, one in free agency, one in the draft. They went out and added a Pro Bowl tight end. They just need Daniel Jones to further develop. The season hangs on Daniel Jones. And if he plays well enough at the quarterback position, I think it is a boom for the Giants this year. If he doesn't play well, not only will it be a bust for the Giants, it'll be a bust for their franchise quarterback. I think they move on from Daniel Jones. So the season will hang on Jones' ability this year to perform. But I look at that division, I got questions about Washington's offense. They have a really good defense. I got questions about the Cowboys' defense. They could have a really good offense. But I look at the Giants, they may not be the best offense or defense in the conference, but they could be the perfect, a little bit of each that allows them to win enough games. So I'll say boom for the New York Giants and their quarterback, Daniel Jones.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'll say bust for the Steelers. I'm also torn on the Steelers. They were the last undefeated team a year ago, but the way the season ended left a bad taste in everyone's mouth in regards to the Steelers. Now Roethlisberger's a year older, and he's talking about getting into shape. The thing about getting into shape, it's great. Do it no matter how old you are and whenever you can, right? You should always try to get into a better shape. I'm trying to myself. But the problem is if you wait until you're 40 like Ben Roethlisberger, it doesn't make up for the last 20 years of bad eating or being overweight or whatever it may be. Like, it doesn't just wipe that off the board. When you get into better shape, it's just for the future or, like, the present. And my point being, for Ben Roethlisberger, sure, it's great. He's trying to get into shape now, but, you know, he's 40 years old. He's already been in the NFL for almost 20 years, a little bit maybe out of shape, or the hits he's taken and the injuries. That stuff still adds up. It doesn't just go away. You don't just wake up and think, like, all right, all those injuries are gone now that I'm in better shape. So Roethlisberger's a year older. We saw him last year. Didn't want to hold on to the football. Didn't trust his offensive line. Didn't want to move around and make plays anymore. That's what happens when you get older. He looked even a little skittish. That was the word we always used for Eli Manning when he got older in the pocket. All right, looked a little skittish out there. I think the Steelers take a step back because the Ravens will be good once again. The Browns probably will have another good year. Even the Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow should be somewhat improved. I think it'll be a bust for the Steelers this season.
The New Orleans Saints.
Bust as well. I think the Saints are this year's Patriots, where they lose their quarterback and have a losing record. There's drama now at Michael Thomas, who will miss the start of the season. No Drew Brees there. I don't think Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston are playoff quarterbacks for New Orleans. Alvin Kamara, great running back, but what is he really good at? Catching the football, more so than running the football. And to catch the football, you need a good enough quarterback. So I think he and Michael Thomas also will take a hit by the move from Brees to a Taysom Hill or a Jameis Winston. And you look at that division, it's up for grabs, but I do think the Falcons will be better. I think the Panthers will be better this year. I think the Buccaneers obviously will win the division. The Saints may finish in third in the NFC South. That would be my prediction. And also the big thing is Sean Payton is this offensive coach. Again, look around that division. You have Bruce Arians, you have Arthur Smith, you have Joe Brady, and you have Sean Payton. This is no longer like a men amongst boys when you want to talk about offensive coaches. That division is now filled with four good offensive play callers. So the advantage that you may have had before may not be an advantage anymore. Plus, you lose Drew Brees. That doesn't help. I think the Saints will be last year's Patriots. They lose Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback, and they take a step back. It'll be a bust this year for New Orleans. I think they have a losing season.
The Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going to say bust. We just got news this afternoon that Carson Wentz is out with a foot injury. So that's obviously not good. So Carson Wentz, can he be counted on? I'm going to say bust because the Colts were a playoff team a year ago. They bring in Carson Wentz. They hope that his connection with Frank Reich will help turn things around this year or turn his career around. I'll say bust because they won't live up to expectations. That division is really bad, by the way, in the AFC South, especially if Carson Wentz can't play. Then it's on Jacob Eason instead to play for the Colts. So I'll say bust. They have all the pieces. With the right quarterback, the Colts haven't been able, since Andrew Luck, they've gone from Jacoby Brissett to Phillip Rivers to now Carson Wentz and still have been a competitive team. If you gave them even just an average quarterback, give them like, I don't know, maybe even just a Matt Ryan, somebody that can make plays for them. You throw Deshaun Watson there without his issues, if we knew Deshaun was actually going to play this year, I think the Colts could win the Super Bowl. I think that roster is that good other than the quarterback. But I don't trust Carson Wentz. So I think it's a bust this year for the Colts and their expectations. I think they take a step back from a year ago because of their quarterback, if Carson Wentz even can stay healthy this year.
The Green Bay Packers.
I'll say, see, this is another one like the Cowboys. I'll say a boom in the sense that they're going to have a good year, probably win the division, make the playoffs, but I'm going to say a bust in this sense. It'll be a bust for that organization and the fans because this is supposed to be the last dance with Aaron Rodgers. And if this really is your last year with Aaron Rodgers, you better make it count, go out there and win. But I don't think the Packers will. I don't think they win a Super Bowl this year. I don't think they get to the Super Bowl. I think it will be a letdown in that sense. Three new linemen on the offensive line. They have a tough schedule. They face a lot of good pass rushes. Davante Adams, right, you have the whole drama of Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers is unhappy. They think Randall Cobb may save things. He's washed up. So I think the Packers will have a good year. They'll win double-digit games. They'll probably win the division. They'll go to the playoffs. I'm sure win a playoff game or two, but I don't think they reach the Super Bowl. And for this to be a boom or a success in the last year of Rodgers, it needs to end in a Super Bowl, at least appearance, if not win. But I don't think it will for Green Bay. So I'll say in that sense, it'll be a bust this year. This year will be a bust in the last hurrah for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
The Minnesota Vikings.
A boom. Now, look, I'm a Vikings fan. But the Vikings overmade their complete, had a complete overhaul. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm getting so excited just thinking about it. I can't even speak. A complete overhaul of their defense. They brought in almost an entirely new defense. They're only bringing back a couple of starters. Last year, the Vikings were number 6 in offense, number 30th in defense. So the offense is fine, and they bring everybody back on offense this year. The offense will be just fine. Justin Jefferson should be even better. Dalvin Cook should be even healthier and better, you hope, knock on wood. The defense was the huge problem last year. But the defense, you have Mike Zimmer, you have all these pieces you brought in. Dalvin Tomlinson on the defensive line is really good. Patrick Peterson in the secondary. Xavier Woods in the secondary. Sheldon Richardson on the defensive line. They made a lot of moves this offseason to bolster that defense. And they were just about 500 a year ago with one of the worst defenses in the league. So I think the Vikings will boom this year. I think they're a wild card team, will have a winning record, and on paper actually have one of the better rosters, I do believe. They just need Kirk Cousins to play at a high level.
The Cleveland Browns.
I'll say bust because there's more room to fall down than there is to rise, right? Like the floor, there's a larger space to the floor than there is to the ceiling. Last year was a good year for the Browns, but I just don't trust Baker Mayfield to follow it up. If you need to hide your quarterback, it's not a good sign for your quarterback. And as good of a coach as Stefanski was in year one, right, sometimes you get figured out a little bit in year two with what you like to do. Plus, the Browns were better off without Odell Beckham Jr., but he's going to be out there this year. You have to try to find a way to make that work. And it is a relatively tough division. And they're the Cleveland Browns. I just can't trust them yet. So I think last year, I won't call it a fluke, you know, but they got a few breaks. In fact, if you look at the metrics, they did overachieve a year ago. I think they fall back to earth a little bit this year. So I'll say a bust for the Browns based off of their expectations.
The San Francisco 49ers.
I'm going to say a boom. What a letdown last year, but they were the most injured team in the league a year ago. Based off of those same metrics, they were the most underperforming team in the league a year ago. They'll be healthy this year. Jimmy G will be inspired after the Trey Lance draft pick. It's a really tough division, but I think the 49ers have the second-best roster in that division right there behind the Rams. I think the Niners certainly will be a boom. They'll be much better than last year. I think they'll be a wild-card team at minimum. I like the Niners a lot this year, as long assuming that they stay healthy. And there you go, looking at teams that could boom or bust this upcoming NFL season. The first preseason game is less than a week away. When we come back, we should have done this yesterday, a great throwback. We'll try to get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. You ever have a problem around the house and you think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation Specialist can. Check them out online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. And this time of year, you got to protect those toes. So if you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or pool deck, the Canty Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of those little toes. Contact them for a free estimate today, CantyCanFixIt.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625. You know, I had mentioned on the way to break about a throwback. We'll save that for next week. Instead, let's focus on the trade deadline before we go here this afternoon, where the trade deadline is just over an hour away in Major League Baseball. And it looks like, and things don't always play out as you would expect, but it looks like in baseball here for the second half of the season, based off of the trades this week, it is going to be those top teams in baseball, right? Like the White Sox are in first place. They got better. They added Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrell today. All right, so they just improved. The Dodgers and Padres, two of the best teams in the NL, both got better this week. The Yankees are in third place, but you always think of the Yankees as a competitor. They got better. The Red Sox didn't get worse. They added at least Kyle Schwarber, so you could say they got better. Right? So the teams that are in first place, or some of the teams that have the best records in baseball, only got better. So it comes down to those same teams. In the AL, you think of the White Sox, the Astros, the Red Sox, maybe the Yankees now. In the NL, it's still the NL West. The Giants really haven't – I think they've done anything. Meanwhile, the Dodgers and the Padres have improved, so you have those three teams there. The Brewers added a pitcher. They haven't done much. The Mets were waiting on. So in the NL, it's really still about those NL West teams, and then the Mets and the Brewers will try to keep up. And then, meanwhile, more locally, the Atlanta Braves made a couple of moves to try to do their part and stay competitive. Nothing major, but, you know, a little something. Now, they went and got Eddie Rosario from Cleveland, who is on the IL right now. They traded Pablo Sandoval for him. Good riddance. And really just a salary dump. Cleveland took on Sandoval. I don't know if he'll even stay on the roster, but it was a bit of a salary dump. But they couldn't even dump his entire salary, so they're splitting the rest of the salary for Rosario, which is about $3 million. The Indians will pay half. The Braves will pay half. He was underperforming this year in Cleveland, plus injured. Now we'll see what he can do in Atlanta. And the other move, as mentioned, was Adam Duvall being added for Alex Jackson as they punt on that prospect, bring Duvall back to Atlanta. Not big moves, but you know, some sort of an upgrade. How big of an upgrade? I don't know. But the Braves didn't get worse today. They did get better, maybe not much better, but they're trying. And they're trying to address that outfield, which, since the Acuna injury, has been the third worst performing outfield in the league. So certainly needing help there. Also, according to reports, they were in on Craig Kimbrel, but then felt like it was too expensive. And it was. The White Sox gave up two big league talents for Craig Kimbrel because they're trying to win this year. If I'm the Braves, I would not want to give, because Kimbrel's a free agent at the end of the year, I believe. He's a rental. So I wouldn't want to give up any big league talent for him, because he is not the missing piece for the Braves winning a World Series, and I would not want to jeopardize my future trying to go all in on this season. So I think the Braves, you know, they've added four pieces the last 2 weeks, nothing major, but they are trying to improve, and we'll see if they can make some sort of run. And now my attention turns to not only my Red Sox, but also the Mets. Last I saw, the Mets haven't done anything. They've been linked to Javier Baez, but I think the Mets have to try to keep up with these other teams. The Braves, the Dodgers, the Padres, even the Giants, making moves this week, playing good baseball. I think the Mets have to do something too. So we'll see what comes from the final hour of the trade deadline. We'll wrap up your Friday when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
From you, red magic satin playing near two, all through the morning.
Wrapping up your Friday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. What a finish of the work week. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always find the show on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. You can also find the show podcasted there. You can also listen to the Morrow Midday Show through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or by downloading our free app. Go to the App Store, search ESPN Charleston, and through that app, you can listen to the show live from anywhere in the world, as well as on demand with the podcast available through the app. Keeping up with the trade deadline, which is just over an hour away for Major League Baseball, this has been crazy. I love it. It's been so lame the last couple of years when there's been hardly any trades. It used to be, when I was growing up, right? It's you as well, years ago. It used to be much busier. I remember big-time moves at the deadline, but I don't know if I remember a year like this. The Nationals just traded two more players, by the way, so I think that's seven of their big league roster. That's more than a quarter of their roster they've traded this week. And the Mets have traded for Javier Baez. So the Nationals and the Cubs have been the two big sellers, and the buyers have been, well, as you imagine, the best teams in baseball. The Mets are making moves. The Dodgers, the Padres, even the Braves, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the White Sox. Should be a really interesting second half of the season where the rich just got richer. And I think there's a real big, you know, tier one of teams and now a larger separation of tier two teams that maybe didn't do anything this deadline. Still an hour to go, though. We'll see what happens in the next 65 minutes before the trade deadline. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. But we'll say hello again Monday at noon. Enjoy your weekend. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.